2022 to lead this crusade. It's a very orchestrated campaign. They have put out a lot of communications just tainting the acronym ESG, saying that it's somehow, it's a bad thing to do, even though in a recent survey by IBM, 5,000 C-suite executives in 22 countries across 22 industries, 79% of them said that they use sustainability and ESG in order to maximize their profits. This is the market. The market has spoken. 181 companies in the Business Roundtable signed an agreement for stakeholder capitalism. That means that you take care of your employees, you take care of your customers, the communities where you operate, and your supply chains, and that leads to greater competitive strength and good and profits for your shareholders. That was in 2019.
We're now
in the
seconds.
Implementation phase. So the bottom line is the pro-ESG is all about profit maximization, about long-term sustainable growth, and the anti-ESG, they're losing money, and it's anti-business, anti-freedom, and frankly, anti-capitalist.
Andrew Behar is the CEO of As You Sow, a nonprofit promoting environmental and social corporate responsibility through shareholder advocacy. His group is being investigated by the House Judiciary Committee, along with a number of others, for alleged antitrust activity. That does it for our show. A happy pre-birthday to Mike Burke. I'm Amy Goodman for another edition of Democracy Now!
You're tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio just finished our annual All Thrills, No Frills special programming campaign. And we want to thank all our supporters for helping us bring the community engaging, unique, and all-around fun special episodes and killer marathons. We wouldn't be able to do it without our listeners. And if you missed out on any of our programming, you can check out the list of specials at kboo.fm/thrills.
Tune in at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and you're listening to KBOO in Portland.
Good morning. You are listening to The Gap here on KBOO Portland. We are KBOO's most listened to radio talk show at 8 a.m. on Fridays when we are on. My name is Tammy, and with me is Althea Billings.
They can never take it away from us, can they?
They can't.
They can't.
they can try. How are you feeling?
I'm okay. I slept kind of weird. So I have like a crick in my neck.
Mm.
And during the intro song, we were playing catch with a tangerine, and it reminded me. I was like, yes, let's play catch. And then my neck and my shoulder, hey, be easy about that. Don't go too hard. How are you doing?
Good. I have my comfort tangerine with me.
Yeah, she's waiting for it to ripen.
Yes, that's how you do it.
Right.
Man,
it could be at any second, which is why you have to have it with you at all times.
It's like back in like the 80s, they used to give high schoolers like an egg so that they would be like, and it'd say,
they would understand
this is your
pregnancy.
Child, and now you have to understand how hard it is. Guess this is the maternal instincts are kicking in
right.
for some reason. The drive in here this morning was beautiful.
Yeah.
The sun was up, I think, around when I was, even before. So
We do like that when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Driving here in the dark. You know, the song has to do a lot of heavier lifting when it's dark in the morning
to
get us hyped up, to be able to do this. Well, this is The Gap on KBOO Community Radio. We like to do a two-parter type of show here in the first half. We are often doing interviews. Today we have a bit of a news roundup for you. Then stick around for 8:30. We'll take a little song break that Tammy has picked out for us, and then we'll get into our community question when you can call in, and we'd be glad to talk with you about our topic. Where shall we start, my friend?
Well, usually when we do the news roundhouse kick to the face, right, we start off with national stuff and then filter down to local stuff. But how about a reverse funnel today?
Whoa.
Start with the local stuff and then branch out to the national.
A cone, some have called it. Yeah, let's do it. So maybe we could start with the good news.
Good news.
Why not?
Very good. Consumer rights for the win.
Right. Woo-hoo. To repair. Tina Kotek signed that this week. And Oregon's now kind of first in the nation in terms of the right to repair, though folks may not have realized it unless they busted their phone or something and tried to get it repaired by, you know, the repair shops that you've seen around. Depending on, you know, prior to this legislation, depending on where you would go, it may not be possible to even fix it because of kind of the monopoly that these big companies have.
Yeah, so now this law, which will kick in and be reinforced in 2027, will require manufacturers, like, for example, your phone provider, companies that make computers. I think
your Apples, your Microsoft.
Well, I was trying not to say names. There it is.
Oh, names. Apple fully opposed this. Google for it, actually.
Interesting.
So all of the what kind of phone does Google? Pixel. Pixel users are up with this one.
Boom.
Sherry's giving a thumbs up from the other room.
So now they have to provide or make available the software, physical tools, and any documentation, schematics needed for repair. Basically, anything that they're authorized repair providers. The I don't call them geniuses. They literally call themselves geniuses. Just kidding. I don't know what to do with my phone. Whatever repairs they can do to repair, like, for example, your phone, would now have to be made available to the public. So if your phone breaks, you have the right to fix it yourself or take it to any repair shop. So kind of like with a car, so you don't have to go to like a specialized place to do it.
Right. Yeah, whoever you send it to doesn't have to be licensed by Apple, for example, if you have an iPhone.
He could just be really, or she, they could be very smart. They don't have to be a genius.
Right. They could have downloaded the guide off the internet, which is the way that this is going to go.
And without getting locked out or like weird stuff that,
because, you know. Yeah. And that's part of the reason that the Oregon one goes further than other ones, because it addresses this issue called parts pairing. So like, and Charlie Fisher from Osberg, who like lobbied for this, has been working on this issue for a while, was on. And so this is like, I'm taking his metaphor. But like, okay, so imagine you have two phones. One of them works great, but the screen doesn't work. The other one doesn't work at all, but the screen is fine. If you swapped, and they're identical, if you swapped in the working screen for the not working one, you would get like an error message, because there's like a kind of like a secret code or like a special software that you have in order to change out those parts. They'd say like, oh, that's not compatible. Like your whole phone wouldn't work, even though you have two working parts that should fit together because of parts pairing. And so this Oregon law actually cuts it off.
That's what Apple was upset about, because apparently they supported the right to repair in California, which didn't have the pairing rule to it. So not looking good, eh?
So this is, you know, this is good. This is, it's kind of a no-brainer, and it's also a little bit frustrating. It's like, what do you mean I couldn't fix my own, like, if I have the time to sit down and read about it, if I wanted to order the parts online, I couldn't sit down and fix it. I'm not allowed. It's my thing. I paid for it. What the heck?
What do you mean DIY?
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
Oh, it was also neat to see all the people that I found the like legislative part page for it, and it was neat to see the different type of organizations, from Oregon Consumer Justice to Free Geek to Scrap. What?
We love Scrap in this house, folks.
and you know, they had some interesting questions about reducing e-waste, cutting climate pollution.
Right. We're throwing away stuff that could be repaired just because we're like not allowed.
Apparently, it says here, being able to fix phones, computers, and appliances instead of buying new ones would save the average Oregon household $330 per year. That adds up to $540 million in savings across all Oregon households.
Thank you. Yeah. We can't get rid of the kicker, but we can hang on to money that you would have to spend on a new phone. How about that? One carve out that is in this in the law is that it doesn't address like agriculture or farming equipment, which is kind of like,
what?
Yeah, but that's because they didn't want to fight with John Deere yet.
Yep,
I don't know if you've heard about that in like the Midwest and stuff. But I think that is like the next frontier is you know, right to repair on the books. Dunsky now, you know, separate fight to take on. People should be able to repair their own tractors and stuff. You shouldn't have to like pay a subscription software for something. I mean, maybe, no, this is maybe too pie in the sky. Could we outlaw subscription services?
Whoa.
Subscription services for stuff that you have to buy it and you have to have a subscription service. I don't know, like big printer.
Yeah.
There was some tweet that went viral recently of like, oh, our printer broke, and like I tried all these different things to fix it. Eventually, I ended up calling the company, and they said that, oh, your debit card expired, so we manually turned off your printer.
Mm.
What? Like that's so screwy. I don't like that at all. And I don't know a single person who's like, yes, I love a subscription model. It's only good for companies. It's not good for people or users or anything.
You're gonna have all the Patreon people after you. Better watch out.
Well, they're like providing an ongoing service. I'm not saying get rid of subscriptions.
No, I got you.
Entirely,
yeah, yeah. Like the.
But like, I'm just paying you to use something that I already paid for.
And you don't like. It's not like rent to buy or rent to own, which is also really annoying. So it's
right.
It just.
It never ends. If you want to keep using the thing, it never ends. Or, cough, piracy, cough. Who said that? Not
Whoa.
Me.
You're just real. I don't know what they're putting in the water. See, it's the last day of Women History Month, so you are on it.
I'm swinging.
I love it. I love it.
I'm swinging it, whatever you put in front of me.
I love it. So that's one for the win. Tina Kotick signing Right to Repair this week.
Yay.
Listen, whatever goes up must come down.
Sure.
That's not my opinion. That is science. And this week, the Oregon Government Ethics Commission confirmed that it received a complaint related to the role of First Lady Amy Kotek Wilson. The complaint comes after an abrupt departure of three top aides led by Chief of Staff Andrea Cooper. The three staffers were described as Kotek loyalists in Salem. So that was kind of shocking for a lot of people. It's speculated that they walked out because Amy Kotek Wilson was set to receive a state-paid office space and staff support. And this was indeed confirmed earlier this week. So, bummer.
Yeah, they're apparently for the next 6 months running a pilot program to create an office of the first spouse.
Isn't this too soon? Like, didn't someone try this beforehand and he kind of...
There's definitely some sensitivity.
There's history.
To the issue of the first spouse getting benefit from being,
The word that they were using is
married.
Peddling power
peddling
and corruption.
Power. Yes. Peddling power, aka being married, am I right? I don't know if I'm right. I'm not married. but that, you know, just two governors ago resigned because...
After he got reelected, though.
Yeah, because his fiance was using, you know, his office for financial gain, and people are pretty sensitive to that. Here's the thing that I don't... You can't be doing the same scandal again.
It's too soon.
It's gotta. What is like? First of all, what is going on? Second of all, don't do like. Everybody really remembers that and is very sensitive to like bringing your spouse in. You know.
With that being said, can I read you a quote here?
I'd love to hear it, please.
So they were this is from a piece talking about the corruption charges,
ethics violation,
Sylvia, what's her name? Oh, I don't have it in my notes. Anyways, in late 2014, Governor, is it Kitzhaber?
Kitzhaber, I believe.
Kitzhaber, okay.
I'm getting a nod from Sherry. Okay,
did
we said it right. Kitzhaber.
my last name is similar to his last name. Well, just a couple letters.
Yeah,
there's
how,
like four in there.
Similar are you to the disgraced former governor, would you say?
Well, just we have three of the same letters. We have three of the same letters in our last name. Anyways, so he did the same exact thing while his fiance was also a volunteer. So that's also another similarity that there's in common. They're both currently in an unpaid volunteer position. Well, that didn't end well. And they were both accused of corruption while he was reelected. The scandal was too big and he resigned in early 2015. And this is a quote. Major Democratic office holders in the state, including Treasurer Ted Wheeler, Senate President Peter Courtney, and House Speaker Tina Kotek, all issued statements on February 12 urging him to resign.
We recognize some of those names.
Sylvia Hayes, thank you,
Sherry. We recognize some of those names.
So, yeah, that's, again, it's same players, season 5, And, you know, maybe in 2015 she felt as though this was a problem and something has changed now that she's in his shoes.
Yeah, I mean, it you know, this is still quite preliminary, and that was like, I mean, we don't know exactly what's going on, but it is, we do know that three of Kotek's top advisors have resigned over it, or related to it, and that the, you know, First Lady is getting involved in more meetings, specifically the Measure 110 stuff, some of which, you know, she does have like related experience to, but she's unelected, you know, and so, and also in a volunteer position, but certainly sounds like she holds quite a bit more sway than, for example, somebody who is unelected, but it is their job.
Yeah.
So I just, the thing I was thinking as well, you know, we don't know what's really gonna shake out at the end of the day, right? But in the off chance that Kotek resigned, we also don't have currently an elected Secretary of State. So, like, and we don't have a Lieutenant Governor, so it would pass to the Secretary of State, but that's not unelected because this time last year, Shamia Fagan was ousted for the whole
LaModa
consulting situation.
Moonlighting, as you were saying.
Moonlighting.
Mm. Another thing that's also the same exact thing as what happened, Kitz Harbor. Either two or three of his top aides also resigned days before this whole corruption scandal.
It just can't history be the same thing.
Literally repeating itself. And I don't know, it's like,
there's no evidence she has done anything for financial gain. I think she just made people annoyed.
Sure, I mean.
So far.
Yeah, so far. But it is, I do understand that she does have a master's degree in social work,
I think, yeah.
And some of the meetings that she's been attending were ones that are related to behavioral health, which is very important to Tina Kotek. But still, like you're saying, you're not elected and you're not like a hired, and it's not a hired position, and the resources are being, like, you literally have a office space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there was some talk of like that certain staffers had to move around in order for Amy Kotek Wilson to have an office space, and then now she has a staff and she's like traveling out of state to a conference or something with like security detail.
Updated her security.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, and the thing that bums me out is Tina Kotek is doing a lot. Like, listen, she got that Team Aqua Force. She got that she got that task force activated. She's been doing, I've been seeing the graffiti being removed. I'm seeing it.
And then she's out there scrubbing.
No wonder
she needs some help from her wife.
I didn't look at the...
Hun, I need to... I have to get some gray paint up on these girders ASAP.
You're doing a great job.
If I don't do it, it won't get done. Can you sit in on this Measure 110? Everything is equally important
sure.
to me.
Hey, she's out here. That's why she had a task force. Because
She needed to talk to 45 people at the same time. And I'm often feeling the same way.
We're probably talking to 45 people.
We love you, 45 people.
From 4 to 5 or 45. You heard what you heard. And I think that she's been doing stuff. She's been doing a lot. She's been an active
I would love to
governor.
See her.
She's been setting herself deadlines and meeting them. That's been setting Ted Wheeler deadlines and meeting them.
Yeah.
Saying, where's this money going? What's going on? I'm shocked.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of a huge bummer.
You know what they say, though.
Bummer. What goes up must come down.
Happy wife, happy Oregon.
That's a shirt. That's a shirt.
Maybe that's something. You know, and like you're saying, she's so busy. I'd love to see the schedule. Is she getting a 15 every 3 hours? I'm concerned about that.
I think Kotek just found her new chief of staff over here. Okay.
We're all taking our 15s on time, people. It's only fair.
Speaking of physical well-being and taking a 15.
Okay.
Is that a good segue?
Kind of. Well, the people won't know until you tell them what you're segueing to.
You brought this article to my attention about the pickleball lawsuit.
Uh-huh.
And this is apparently a big problem out here in the world.
Pickleball. It's
a
game.
Tell us.
Pickleball's a game. People love it. Old folks, young folks, everybody in
between.
Tech bros.
Millionaires.
They love it. You can play it on a tennis court, but it's with a wooden racket and a special ball. And the thing about it, and this isn't a uniquely Oregon thing, anywhere you go, mm-hmm. it is loud as hell, this ball.
Scientists are researching it. I was Googling it. Science has reached out to figure out what's going on.
So, I mean, you know, anywhere there's a tennis court, the people around it are like, and people are playing pickleball on it. Everybody's like, oh my God, it's so loud. It hurts my ears. I don't like it. And there is a lawsuit against the Irvington Pickleball Club. In Northeast Portland, they've closed two of their two outdoor pickleball courts because they have a cease and desist from a neighbor who has been complaining about this noise for years. And it's an interesting, this is a Willamette Week article, shout out Sophie Peel. It is interestingly complicated.
Yeah, surprisingly,
about,
yeah.
About how they have to try to work on this. I mean, some of the quotes are a little bit funny to me. I don't want to invalidate that it is really annoying to have to live next to it. But, you know, the homeowner saying, I cannot live a normal life. For me, it's hell. And that they've, you know, the lawsuit says that they've been, like, effectively evicted from their house because they live next to this pickleball court and sort of, like, the health issues that they've suffered as a result of it.
I mean, they got the decibel, the soundometer.
Here's the thing. You were saying, you know, because we talked recently about being closed down over a centometer or like over pseudoscience about smell.
That it smells like a wok dish.
They said it smells bad.
It
smelled like a wok dish. Sorry, they didn't say it smelled bad.
Right, so it smells like food.
It smells like food, smells like cooking. And somebody called the city 180 days in a row, and wouldn't you know it, that's all it takes. But anyway,
then that pseudoscience Gazette goes in there.
But this, you know, not pseudoscience.
So decibels, that's a word.
Decibels is a measure, an objective measure.
And that is an actual unit.
And they said 80,
yeah.
And I was like, 80 decibels? We looked at each other, we're like, is that a lot?
And, well, the city, the noise code noise must not exceed 55 decibels in a residential area.
Right.
So they whipped out the soundometer or centometer, what would you call it? Soundometer. And they popped it. They popped that puppy at 80 decibels, and they said no.
Yeah,
it is also interesting the fact that the difference between like public land and private property, because
right.
the athletic club is on private property,
right?
And they seem to be working with the complaints. It does seem like they are trying to be mindful of the noise. And apparently, another part of this article is saying that a similar conflict came in early 2023. When Lake Oswego City Council voted to shut down pickleball courts because of persistent complaints. And this is apparently a real thing. I don't know if can we get some sounds of a pickleball in here?
Sherry, if you look up something, you give us a wave. We'd love to perturb the people.
you tell us how bad this is.
But I mean, it's a thing, and you know, scientists need to get on this. They need to make us a quieter pickleball. You seen that they 3D printed a basketball or something recently? Did you see that?
We couldn't go to the store.
Well, it's really expensive. It's like you don't have to inflate it. It's it's sort of like a cage, but it's a basketball, and it bounces, but it bounces quiet. But it's like $2,000, so it's like that doesn't fix anybody's problems with basketballs. But if we could get a quieter pickleball, I really feel like, you know, we could really kind of heal this nation potentially.
There's also some where is this apparently collected two shopping balls filled with pickleball balls that landed bags, in her backyard.
Yeah, getting annoyed. Okay, Sherry has a sound for us. Let's hear.
For some, it's a noisy and disruptive sport.
With the millions of people playing, where a large number of communities that either have...
got a little taste of it.
Yeah. I didn't love it. I mean, I didn't hate it, didn't love it, but I'm sure click-clacking like that... Oh, plick-placking? That's what... Plick-placking like that is, you know. So, interesting. Something's got to get resolved.
We all live next to something. You know what I mean?
You know, I like that.
You wanna,
I like that. Yeah. Go, please, tell us more. Tell us
go
more.
To the woods. You don't want to hear anything. You go to the woods, you hear an owl.
But
you say, get that owl out of here. You can't do that. Come on.
It's like when you wake up with the sound of birds out your window.
And, you say, shut it. You're like, oh, is my neighbor mowing the lawn? We need to create an HOA to make that illegal.
You got to get these birds out of here. You paying rent, birds?
Exactly.
But we all, what is the pickleball court in your life? That's an interesting question to ask myself. We all live around something.
Yeah.
But then also, we live in a society.
We
in
do
the words
live
of
in
George
a society.
Costanza.
Well, I mean, and here's the thing. Is there good faith efforts to mitigate it?
Like, in this situation, it seems to me like there is. In this situation, this seems more like a reasonable situation, as opposed to, for example, with the FA complaint.
The FA place, yeah,
that was just ridiculous. And the fact they shut it down so quickly, and fined it. It was. I don't know, but this is.
like NIMBYism, but specifically for pickleball courts. Like, not imagine a person who is like, not, they're like, yes, build whatever affordable housing in my backyard that you want. I want people to have mixed incomes in my neighborhood, but I draw the damn line at a pickleball court.
Maybe that could be the thing that brings people together.
Yeah.
Either
for or against pickleball. That's actually the dividing issue this year. Like, forget climate change. Forget everything. We need to know where the presidential candidates stand on pickleball. And can they play? I'm going to say I think you have to move a little bit quick.
There's about 500 and a half people running for commissioner and mayor in Portland.
Oh, pickleball tourney.
The pickleball controversy is definitely one to run on. That is a
wedge
that's a
issue. That's what I was thinking of.
Putting you in a pickle.
We're going to... Exactly. Thank you.
Oh,
okay.
I can't stop. Woo.
We want to pivot to some
national news. Sure thing.
Yeah, I wanted to... You guys heard about this bridge collapsing, I'm sure. I wanted to talk about it because people... here's the things that I want to say.
The
Baltimore Francis Scott Key Bridge collapses after being hit by an enormous cargo ship. People are like, what? A bridge? How could the bridge fall down? It's like, okay, well, if you hit really hard the legs of the bridge, it'll fall down. That just is what it's going to do. And people are like, it's a conspiracy. They think it's a conspiracy that this bridge fell down. I think you got to look at it from the other angle. For example, seeing how small the bridge is versus how huge this cargo ship is. I think that is influential as well. But people are saying, you know, that they're like, we have to invest. And yes, we should investigate how this happened. But it was that this, you know, the ship lost power. But there was this Twitter thread that I was reading that I thought was really interesting, especially kind of countering the conspiracy theory stuff that people have said, that it's like, oh, was it a terrorist attack? Was it this? Was it that? Somebody tweeted DEI did this, which is...
Where's DEI? I'm going to beat him up.
Because how could that be the case? What a DEI, like, implying that the port commissioner, who is a black woman, messed up.
If it was DEI, then it wouldn't be a black person. I'm sorry, Baltimore is like, with all due respect, the science and the demographics and the reality of the matter is, if it was like a thing where you want to, let's say, an affirmative action hire, I'm doing air quotes, or like a diversity hire in Baltimore, it's not going to be a black person. Like, Baltimore is mostly black. It is. There's been a black mayor for as long as I could remember. Like, this isn't, you know. And yeah, you're saying they're blaming everything from COVID. Who were they not blaming? If you weren't blamed, that means you're not.
You're suspicious, actually.
Yeah, you're a B-lister if you weren't named. They blame Puff Daddy also.
Sure.
Barack Obama, aliens.
Yeah. Can I say a little bit about how could this bridge fall down? This Twitter thread that I was reading. They were saying, that this is actually a result of the system working, that so few people were lost as a result of it, right? Like this, you know, 1:24 a.m. ship's power goes out, the pilot radios to maritime control or somebody, who then immediately calls Maryland and Baltimore police, basically, you know, because there's minutes that within minutes that this gets turned around. Police get sent out with just a few phrases, right? This person writes, ship has lost steering, close the bridge to traffic, and they race just to do it, you know? There's no like, well, why is it lose steering? Or like, are you sure that we need to do that? Mm. 4 minutes they have to like stop all of this. And that is, you know, this person was talking about how that's like a government system working. Like those are just ordinary people mm-hmm. doing their job, stopping people from crossing the bridge as it was going to collapse. And, you know, that the construction workers every day, you know, every night of the week are doing like hazardous stuff like this. And so, you know, those that were still on the bridge, like, mm-hmm. why weren't they notified? That's the hole in the system, mm-hmm. you know. That's the, why are people who are doing hazardous work at night not tapped into an emergency alert system so that they would have gotten off the bridge in time? But also talking about, like, oh, there, can I read from this directly?
Yeah, go for it.
Every night, 5 or 6 days a week, men and women, just like those construction workers, do that dangerous work on interstates and bridges in all 50 states. Here's the moment. An officer who closed one of the approaches says on the radio, can we notify the construction workers? Can we call the supervisor? The officer was ready to drive out and warn the workers when someone on the radio seconds later said, the bridge is down, the whole bridge. That unnamed officer had been immediately thinking about how to save those guys on the bridge, workers just like him. Thanks to all these folks who make the world run and run safely 99% of the time and work with skill, grace, clear-headedness in invisible but essential jobs. Even as disaster unfolded Tuesday after midnight, they were at work.
Mm. And in the midst of this whole tragedy, it gets lost, for researching for today's episode, mm-hmm. I was looking at all the conspiracy theories, and it was really rough because you're looking at how these people, it's like millions of people are engaging with the conspiracy theories. It seems to me like they're even, like, that's where people are getting their news, and actually going to a news outlet is secondary. Like, mm-hmm. it's just very bizarre. But in the midst of all the, in this tragedy, like, no one is actually talking about the tragedy that six people
died.
Yeah,
six people
and
who were killed.
I would like to say their names. And so two of the men whose bodies were recovered were identified as Alejandro Hernandez Fuentes, 35 of Baltimore, originally from Mexico, Dorlian Ronal Castillo Cabrera, 26, from nearby Dunkdale, originally from Guatemala. Four are missing and presumed dead. Maynard Suazo from Honduras, Jose Lopez from Guatemala, Miguel Luna from El Salvador, and another whose name has not been yet released. Two other workers were rescued. So, man, what a tragedy. It could have been worse. Like you said, the mm-hmm. system was working, and the actual, you know, the immediate investigation was, you know, I mean, it was just so sad to think, oh my God, people just died. How, you know, the question is, how come the people on the bridge didn't get evacuated?
Yeah.
And then people are talking about how
there's like
Nickelodeon did it, the World Economic Forum, Ukraine, Jewish people, China.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
And to think that that it's born out of tragedy.
Right.
That like Latin American immigrants mm-hmm. mostly died, that the ship was like Singaporean, the company, but working for a Danish company mm-hmm. on its way to Sri Lanka, which, like, I mean, remembering international trade is happening in ports all the time.
Sure.
That is, that's interesting, mm-hmm. but that's not like explanatory in any way. And they're like, oh, it's a Singaporean ship. And the port commissioner is a black woman. Ah, it's like, sometimes, folks, there are freak accidents.
Mm.
And it doesn't mean that this isn't something that could be prevented. Like, there are infrastructure things. It was related to the collapse of the Sunshine State mm-hmm. Expressway in Tampa. I don't know if you saw that. That was also hit by a ship and then collapsed, and like 150 people died. Mm. This was like in the 80s, I want to say. But when they rebuilt it, they like added all of these other structures around the bridge to make sure that a ship really couldn't get close to impact the legs of it again. And so, you know, that there were a couple of those on the Baltimore, the Key Bridge, mm-hmm. but they were really far away and there was only four of them. And the one in Tampa, like when it got rebuilt, had 35 of these things. They're actually called dolphins. I was Googling. So, you know, like there are things that we can do to prevent it, but it's like, what? Our bridges are so fragile. Yeah, man, everything's fragile. we're all cooperating all the time to make sure that stuff like this doesn't happen and you can drive to work on time, you know?
In the words of our one and only, you didn't come from a coconut tree.
You
did not come from a coconut.
Where is Kamala Harris on this issue? Not falling out of a coconut tree. I know that. And you know, kind of related is that, like, I-5 South through a good chunk of Portland was closed yesterday because there was, like, a issue with the Fremont Bridge that they were like, oop, somebody pointed that out. We got to go fix that. Mm. Everybody gets it diverted to 405 and stuff. You know?
Yeah, that...
Maintenance.
It's the fact that then you have former U.S. National Security Advisor Michael Flynn call it a black swan event. A black swan event has been around for decades and is used to describe a major global event, typically in the finance markets, that can cause significant damage to a country's economy.
I mean, and that's another... is it related to the film or no?
Oh, I mean...
Guys, Natalie Portman was
involved. Would you consider Natalie...
Where was she?
Would you consider Natalie Portman's performance in that a...
an international financial incident? Yeah, I would.
Bankrolling. God, I did not like that. I mean, it was a great movie, but there are some scenes I was not ready for.
I'm way too scared to watch it.
I know. Mila Kunis killed it in there, though. Mm, shout out to Mila Kunis.
Let's not shout her out, but that's okay. I don't think that's... Yeah.
This post itself, how many views? 7.2 million.
Good.
Then you have, I don't even want to say his name. He's a misogynistic influencer. I'm reading from this Wire article that was charged with really bad crimes in Romania. Sure. Posted.
Him?
Yeah.
I know who it is.
Posted.
Gross.
Nothing is safe. Black Swan event imminent. 19 million views. Whereas, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene had to talk about it. I don't know. I don't even know what she's going to say. And then apparently the former Florida state congressman was the one that declared that, quote, DEI did this. 2.2 million views.
Oh, boy.
So racist. It's like that's such a.
I mean, yeah, we're making fun of it because it's nonsensical.
Yeah,
it's nonsensical because it's racist, to be clear.
It's a very... Oh, my God. Apparently, there's also things... here's another conspiracy theories claiming that the incident was linked to the fact that the bridge was named after Francis Scott Key, who wrote the word for Star Spangled Banner, and thus an attempt to undermine America.
Wasn't he? He also was just from Baltimore, I think, and that's why it's named after him.
Have these people ever seen a pothole? Like, have they seen like a fire hydrant like a malfunction?
Mm.
Can you imagine what movies they'll be eating? Like they'll be the main characters in their own warm supremacy, thinking that there's some mass conspiracy for why this fire hydrant isn't working.
Of lateral thinking going on. Can I say, some of our nation's escape rooms are sitting empty right now while these people are tick-tock-topping away.
Mm.
Go do an escape room. That's where your brain, your lateral thinking, and your skills are going to be put to use, okay? Stop trying to solve world events because it's a freak accident and that's not what happened.
Do you think they should invest their time into like puzzle making or something?
Yeah.
Because there's something there. They're working overtime and they're doing a lot of
pulling. You invest a little time, you know, get in the puzzle community. Start doing Sudoku.
Science fiction.
That'd be great.
Remember?
Some of our greatest science fiction fantasy books are written by real nuts, okay?
Mm. Mm.
Get involved in that. There's a lot of productive things you
can do. Or they can read some. Or maybe they shouldn't.
I'll give you too many new ideas.
Yeah, 1984 has been like bastardized at this point.
Well, L. Ron Hubbard, hello.
I
started a religion off of him.
You know, I walked by his house when I was visiting in D.C.
Did you?
I really wanted to walk, but you can walk in there, but I wasn't fully confident that I wouldn't.
That they weren't going to get you.
I would have. I'm primed to be got.
I know a lot of people who barely escaped. They're like, wouldn't it be so fun if we like went to go take those free classes at Scientology? And they're like,
they give cookies, and we shouldn't say their name because they will sue us.
Oh, I'm sorry. what do you mean? It's not the Super Bowl. Ah! I'm not allowed to say that either.
Oh my goodness.
What a taboo episode. Okay.
We're going to go on a quick musical break we talk with our lawyers about our next steps.
Yep.
You've been listening to The Gap on KBOO. I'm Tammy. Next to me is Althea, speaking with our lawyer.
They're
right now.
They're dragging me out of the room with a hook. I'm sorry.
And we're back here on The Gap, a little Fugazi this morning, Friday morning, 8:40 a.m. Phone lines are open because we're going to move to our community question. Althea, do you want to?
Do I want to introduce it? Okay.
I can introduce it.
I'd love to introduce it. Oh, you want me to do it?
Yeah.
Stop teasing the listeners. Our community question today, would you rather make a mistake or have to forgive a mistake? 503-231-8187. Let us know. You can also chat with us on the website, kboo.fm. You can message us on Instagram. Our handle is @thegapradio. You can also email us, thegapradio@gmail.com.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
You divined this at dinner last night.
But when you say it, I just think to myself, wow, this lady is asking a question. 503-231-8187 is the number. Yeah. Love to hear from you.
Say what you will about us, but those ladies, they're asking a question.
They're asking. Would you rather make a mistake or be the one forgiving? I kind of like the idea of making a community question, kind of like a would you rather, like a little game or something, because it's Friday after all.
Mm-hmm.
Phone lines are open. 503-231-8187. We would really like to hear from you.
Yeah, because there's like the... there's emotional stuff tied up in both of them, right? Of like,
oh yeah, it's like I feel like it's like different parts of your brain working almost.
Yeah, which one hurts you more, I guess. It's like or which one are you stronger at? Are you better at forgiving or are you better at forgiving yourself?
It's others. It's you can make mistakes with others or yourself. Man, when you make a mistake with yourself though, you got to be the one forgiving.
Yeah.
Or not forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bummer. Ooh, 503-231-8187. We're getting deep, deep.
I'll hurt my own feelings.
What would you rather?
I mean, I think that I am better at forgiving other people's mistakes than I am at forgiving my own. And I've gotten better at forgiving my own. Or like, you know, making a mistake and being like, okay, it doesn't actually mean anything about me. I don't need to spend 72 hours self-flagellating about something that happened. Or that I misunderstood, or I did wrong, you know. And there was a period of time in my life where perhaps I was spending more time being like, "Oh, you idiot! Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Everybody hates you. Why would you do that?" But you know, I think that the question that you created illuminates some of the hypocrisy in that, where it's like, "Oh, they probably didn't mean to," you know. It's easier for me to say that about other people than it is for me to say it, I really didn't mean to. And I am really sorry, you know. What about you? What do you think?
I like what you said a lot, because it is easier to be almost more forgiving with other people than with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know your own intentions. I guess you can always give someone else like a benefit of the doubt for, you know, like, I'm not in their
heads.
It
rarely costs you very much to give somebody else the benefit of the doubt.
I think I would rather make a mistake. I mean, I hate, just because we listen to Fugazi, I got to make another quote. I won't make the same mistake because I know how much time that wastes. So learning from mistakes is really important to me. So I don't mind making mistakes. I also don't mind admitting when I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually very proud of the fact that I'm super opinionated, but also can be like, hey, I was wrong. I can admit that. Forgiving though, I don't know. Fool me once. What did Bush say?
Fool me once. Shame on me. Fool me twice. Shame on you. Fool me three times. Can't get fooled again.
Boom. Boom.
I don't know if that's exactly it, but
503-231-8187.
You want to talk about falling out of a coconut tree?
Did he fall out of a coconut tree?
I don't know, maybe. 503-231-8187. We are talking about making a mistake or forgiving a mistake. Which would you rather have to do? Let us know. You can also chat with us on the website, kbu.fm. You can message us on Instagram at thegapradio. Our email address is thegapradio@gmail.com.
As the people call in at 503-231-8187, I wonder, what do you think of the phrase forgive and forget?
It's quick to say. I think it's harder to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, can I tell you, sometimes I forgive and then I forget and then I forget that I forgot, you know?
Oh.
Like, if it's actually forgiven, it is in some ways expunged from the record. And somebody's like, hey, do you remember when that happened? I was like, honestly, no. You could tell me anything. Certain things, just I lose them, you know? I think forgive and then, like, take it into account. But sometimes forgetting is beyond your control. I think it's a good indication that it doesn't matter that much some of the time.
Wait, right. When it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, but then when it matters, it could be like, there are mistakes where I think it's like, that's, if I made this mistake or if someone is making this mistake, there is obviously like a huge disconnect because it hurts a lot, or I feel like I'm hurting them or they're hurting me or I'm hurting myself or something. So I think some mistakes are, you know, they're lessons, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, now that I'm saying it out loud, maybe some of them are lessons in forgiving.
Whoa. Psh,
this tangerine.
she's rubbing the tangerine, folks.
503-231-8187. We'd love to hear your input on this.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Mm. Forgive and forget.
Sometimes forgive, never forget.
Right. Forgive, forget, but never let it go.
No, I think you need to let it go in order to really forgive, you know?
You don't have to forget, you know? You don't have to forget, but I also think it's important to say that, like, other people in your life are not, like, keeping a tally of all your transgressions.
You are. Do people not do that?
You're doing that?
Well, not of my, of other people.
Of me?
Well, if your name's in the book.
Oh, boy.
No, yeah, I hear you. Yeah. We definitely, because we're stuck with ourselves our whole lives, you know? Like, we are. Anywhere we go, here we are, you know?
So true.
You can't, but, and if you don't, it's easier not to forgive someone else because you can, you know, reject them from your life or move or break up with them or whatever, but you can't, you know, move away from yourself. So I think there's a level of, you have to forgive there's no other way of continuing anything, if anything.
Right, definitely. Well, it sounds like we have Roger on the line. Roger, can you hear us? You're on the air.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. I'm surprised at the question. I hate making mistakes, and I absolutely understand other people make mistakes, and 100% it's cool. People make mistakes, but not me. I don't want to make mistakes. I hate making mistakes. I'm with you.
I have to be perfect all the time, actually.
Right? Yes. Well, you're very good all the time. And both of you. Anyway, love your show. Let someone else come up. I want to hear someone who can't forgive.
Yeah, if you've hardened your heart, please call. Okay. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Roger. Have a good rest of your day.
503-231-8187. Has your heart been hardened from the mistakes of others? We'd love to hear from you.
Are you unable to forgive? Actually, I don't know the cross-section of people who are unable to forgive versus people who will call into the program. But, you know, if that's something that you're dealing with, we'd love to know.
You know, also when we were talking yesterday, I remember forgiving, just like making mistakes, or maybe not like making, okay, whatever. Forgiving is a practice.
Mm.
And practice makes progress.
Yeah.
And if you can, practice that muscle or flex that muscle in, you know, like the little things, like forgetting, like forgiving that someone cut you off in traffic, or forgiving that, I didn't get milk yesterday when I could have, and I told myself and I didn't, now I can't drink my coffee.
Yeah.
And it's like these little practices of forgiving yourself and not being like, oh, I'm such a jerk for that, or like,
yeah,
ugh, I don't pay attention or something. These little, it's almost like a practice or a workout for,
yeah, definitely,
being able to have bigger forgivenesses, because then you think of maybe that person cut you off because they're driving, they're picking up their kid from school and they're late. Yeah. Well, let's say you've made that mistake of picking up your kid late.
Sometimes you're the one driving like, right, a jerk.
Empathy is the word I'm looking
connection.
For.
Connection.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Giving yourself grace, giving other people grace.
I think once you start giving yourself grace,
yeah,
it will only naturally, like if you start giving yourself grace or others and start practicing that, it can only come back to you or to others. Like if you're like, I'm going to be nicer to myself, you will eventually be nicer to others, or if, you know, or vice versa. It's like, I feel like it's just a practice or like a, it's just like an ability that people are able to develop.
Yeah.
I truly think that.
It fills you up. Fills you up. Well, I think we have a caller on the line. Let's see if we can get AD in here talking to us, maybe in just a second. Can you hear us?
Are you talking to me?
I believe so.
Hey,
you are on the air.
I'm so grateful for your last comments, because I was going to say that to the degree that we give ourselves grace and forgiveness, we can give others that. And to the degree we give others that, it helps us eventually give it to us.
Mm.
We have to examine a little story that we tell ourselves and believe. It says that somehow one person is different from another and deserving grace. And one thing that helps me get to that story is to realize that we all have the same universal needs and underlying values. And when we feel that believe that our needs are met, we're going to behave in ways that are more enjoyable to be around, and we're going to feel happier. And when we are telling ourselves a story and we don't feel that our needs are met, we're probably going to be thinking, feeling, and acting in ways that are not liked by other people, not feeling good for ourselves. And so having that kind of generic view of things can turn us to curiosity. I'm feeling angry. What's the story I'm telling me that my needs or my rights or my boundaries are violated? Is that true? Is there something else I can do about that or think? I'm feeling, usually it's love or fear, and fear manifests in different ways. But if it's fear, like, what's the story I'm telling myself about my life or my safety or my needs being threatened or endangered, or afraid that they will be in the future? Am I not safe right now? And on. So questioning, just being aware of those physical sensations and behaviors that we have associated with those emotions and stories, and then examining those stories with a little bit of compassion, like, hey, I'm just one more human being among all the others, no better, no worse. And if we tell ourselves that, I'm good enough for here and now, and I can always improve, and I have the support I need to improve, and they're good enough for here and now, and they're a gift in my life, because they're either role modeling for me the better way I can be, or they're giving me practice to be.
Yeah, very true.
Being the change I want from them, like having teenagers be respectful, that might not happen, but I can practice being respectful and respect myself or whatever. So I think when we just see we're all in this together and we belong and we're good enough and we need each other and no one could be replaced, and we just challenge and replace the beliefs of the oppressor, the abuser, the capitalism, the, you know, racism or whatever it is, it's always telling us the lie that we don't need to believe. And to the degree that we give ourselves compassion, and if I trip and fall, I used to be a ballet dancer, I can say, oh, good recovery. If I forget something instead of saying, oh, you know, I'm getting old and demented, I can say, oh, I have an opportunity to practice better memory skills or grace and forgiveness or, you know, a sense of humor or whatever it is. And so just changing the story we tell ourselves with a determination.
Yeah, it makes a difference. It really does. Well, listen, Edie, thank you so much for calling.
Really appreciate
it. A lot of...
The stories we tell ourselves.
The stories we tell ourselves. It really is that. Yeah, thank you for calling. Hope you have a great rest of your day. We have another caller on the line, April. April, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for the topic. I definitely would rather... I would rather make mistakes myself. Mm. It's much harder for me to forgive myself, but I do learn from it, which I think directly affects the forgive and forget thing that I do forgive, I don't forget, because you do learn from it. So if you learn from it, you really can't forget it, right?
Mm.
So, you know, I have lots of friends that I have had to forgive multiple times over the last decade, and we're still friends. Our friendship is just at a different level. I mean, I really enjoy hearing from them and talking with them, but I don't necessarily make my plans around them anymore. You know, if we get together, we get together. And that's just who they are, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's very true. Well, thank you for calling, April. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a great day.
You too.
I love that logic. If you learn from your mistakes, then you can never really forget about them because you learn from them. That's going to give that.
You're giving that a little.
Calling the tattoo artist right now. No, that's going to, that's burnt into my subconscious now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I think to circle back to some of the things that Edie and April said, that sort of negative self-talk or like the stories that we tell ourselves, I think, you know, it's important to connect the fact that like maybe for yourself, if you make a mistake, you see it as symptomatic of a larger thing.
Exactly.
It's like, it's not just that I did something silly or I forgot something. It's like, I am forgetful. I am stupid. Mm, right.
Mm.
And like, that was something I was taught kind of young of like, I guess in like high school or whatever, but to like, not say that, oh, I am negative quality. Mm-hmm. You could say I did something negative quality if you feel like you need to get it out. But being like cutting yourself down like that, like over and over, it does mess with you, you know? And like something that wouldn't be symptomatic of another person if they made that mistake. You in yourself, you're like, oh, this means everything about me.
And again, you're with yourself 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week, 365.
Yeah.
And if you're saying that to yourself every day or any time that you make a mistake, from the smallest thing, like spilling something, the biggest thing, to like forgetting to pay your rent or something, or who knows, getting fired or something. You can't, there is no, that type of negativity on you. I don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. It's not necessary. There is, if people have made mistakes and we have repaired them. People have lived on after, you know, making mistakes. And there's always a way.
They go on to live happy and fulfilled lives because every single person makes mistakes. And the other thing, this is another one that I learned, is like if you hear somebody else doing negative talk like that, it's like, oh, well, I'm this way. It's like, hey, don't say that about my friend. Mm. Don't say that about my friend Althea. That's not nice. And then they'll be like, ugh. But
there's also, Edie, I think, also mentioned kind of asking yourself if what you're upset about, you know, asking yourself, like, why am I feeling this way? But then also asking if it's based in reality, which is, I do that to myself. Like, hey, you seem like a little, like, I call myself Tammy Doll. I say, hey, Tammy Doll, I say this to my head. So you seem to be a little, like, aggro, like, what's up? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm hungry. I should make a sandwich. And it's like, okay, cool. See, it wasn't that serious at all. Like, just really de-escalating it. You know?
De-escalating it within yourself.
And if you can do it within yourself, doing it for others, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
It can only be... It gets practiced.
And I think also something that I found for myself is, like, trying to distinguish when I'm, like... This is what my dad says this when you're activated about something, I'm like, that email was, I can't believe that person said that to me. That's so stupid. That made me so mad. How could they say that? You know, I'm activated about it, and I will maybe vent about it to people that I trust. I'm like, can you believe that they said this to me over email? Emails. Gosh, I hate emails. I don't hate them. They're useful, but whatever. I get aggravated over emails, but like not responding when you feel that, like, you know. And because oftentimes, and this has happened for me, and I can think of a couple times with my coworkers, of like, oh, I was angry. I didn't say anything. I was kind of like chewing on it, kind of getting to a place where I wasn't like trying to fight it, you know, and just could respond out of it. You go back and read it and it's like, oh, it actually wasn't that bad. It meant something to me. That's not what they said. Mm. And so it's like, it's good that I didn't act out of that like feeling.
Mm. Interesting. Because mistakes can also come in different shapes. Like, they come in, or different words, like accidents, that's a mistake. Misunderstanding, that could be a mistake.
Certainly.
Oh, what's the word? Miscommunication. If the word is miss is in it, then it's a type of mistake. Boom.
Uh-oh.
It's a
misogyny. A little bit of that right there.
Whoa. Whoa, the earth just stopped its tilt. But it seems like most people are able to make a mistake, or... Yeah, would rather make a mistake than forgive.
Hmm. That's what we're hearing. The straw poll we've done. You better learn from this. Can I make one quick mention?
Sure, yeah.
Big for me was like figuring out not to sweat the small stuff. Mm. You know, I did read the book, the one that was for teens, but it just like freed me from being like annoyed at my family all the time. It's like, I can't believe they would say that. I can't believe they left the milk out, you know. Like, I can't, that's so annoying. And like letting those transgressions pile up when I could just be like, ah, somebody left the milk out, shoot. Put it back in the fridge, everything's okay.
That's a book for anyone who's reading, has roommates and stuff. Anyways, shoosh, we are out of time.
Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you, Althea. This is The Gap. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
Okay, God willing, we'll be here.
Have a good day. Bye.
KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM.
KBOO just finished our annual All Thrills, No Frills special program.